How you guys doing this morning? Cool, man. I've gotten the awesome privilege of like sharing the word this morning, and I'm really, really excited. That's my lovely wife there, Corinne. She'll share a bit later on about herself. But we're talking about revolution. Last week, Mark gave us this definition of a revolution. He said it's an overthrow or replacement of an established system, a sudden and a radical or complete change. Now this week we're going to look not only at the revolutions, but who were the people that actually started them? Who were some revolutionaries? And we're obviously going to look at Jesus specifically. Right, so this is just a little definition that I came up with, and sort of that's the key things about a revolutionary. If we say, what is a revolutionary? These are sort of the things that stand out for me. It's somebody who makes new. Somebody who's an history maker that redefines history in some way and that brings change. And that really is the key word for me, change. Somebody that changes things. So we're going to start off this morning to do a little pop quiz to look at some revolutionaries in history, right? So how we're going to do this is we're going to split you guys up in two. I want all the girls on that side and all the guys on this side. Quickly. And we're going to look at a couple of historical revolutionaries. I must tell you this morning, or in the first service, the girls annihilated the guys. Guys, so I'm looking to you to pull this one away. You guys can sit down. Maybe just take a chair. You guys can sit down. It's going to take a couple of minutes, eh? Guys, grab a chair. You can come sit here. You guys can also sit here on the couches if you want to. Okay, nice. I'll stand in the middle here just so I appear impartial. Okay, so we're going to go away with ladies first again, like we did the first service. Ladies first. Right, so how this is going to work is you're going to see a name and a picture of an historical revolutionary up on the screen. And basically the question I want you to answer is, what country is this person from? Okay, well, in what country did they lead a revolution? Okay, so it's easy. So how we're going to do it is we're going to get alternate turns, first girls, then guys. And if you don't know the answer, it goes to the other group to get a chance to answer it, right? There's four questions each. Okay, so this is the first one. Ladies, where does this guy come from? Zimbabwe. America. Okay, the USA. Okay, awesome. That's a point for you. Mark, you're keeping score, right? Okay, that wasn't too hard. So George Washington was the first president of the United States of America. He was the, what they call the commander-in-chief of the American Revolutionary Army. And they were basically the guys that fought for America's independence and established that. So he's really, was part of that revolution. Okay, guys, this one. This is a real hard one. Where's he from? Germany. Is that right? Where's he from? He's actually from Austria. Okay, but he led the revolution in Germany. So we're going to give that to the guys. I was actually caught out this morning as well when somebody pointed that out, but well done. Okay, so we'll give that to the guys. We'll give that to the guys. That's fair. Okay, the next one is a lady. For the ladies, who's this? Where's she come from? Corazon Aquino. Who's got an idea? Any lady got an idea? Wow, that's correct. It's from the Philippines. Well done. Wow, well done. What gave it away? That's awesome. So last week, Pastor Mark shared different color revolutions, and one of them was that yellow. The Yellow Revolution, and she was actually the leader of that revolution. It was called the People's Power Revolution in the Philippines, and they basically stood up against this dictator, basically, that was oppressing people in the Philippines, and it was a peaceful revolution. They just basically held marches and sit-ins and all kinds of things. Cool. Well done, ladies. I didn't think people were going to get that, but that was awesome. Okay, guys, next one. Where's he from? He's from Russia. He's from Russia. Okay, awesome. Well done. So Lenin was actually the guy that led to a complete change in Russia. Russia was previously ruled by Tsars. They called these Tsars. It was basically kings. And he brought about change from the Russian Empire to the Soviet Union, as it was known. Obviously, it wasn't all that good, right? It basically established communism in Russia that that led to a whole bunch of atrocious things. It's actually interesting if you read that the commentaries, a lot of people are divided whether this guy was actually good or bad. They don't actually, some say he was good, but some say, you know, the stuff that eventually ended up after he ruled was actually not that good. So, yeah, it was quite interesting. Okay, ladies, there's another girl for you, hey? I'm quite a nice, hey? I got all the girls for you. Here's one. Where's she from? Joan of Arc. Oh. You might have them stumped. Anybody? Anybody on the ladies? She's from France. Yes, that's correct. Well done. It's got somebody that knows her history, right? Yeah. Well done. So, I don't know. Do you guys know the story of Joan of Arc? We see her in movies and like. But apparently, she had, as a girl, she had dreams. And in these dreams, like saints would visit her and tell her to get involved in the fight against the English that were busy occupying France. So she went to the French prince and said, "Listen, can you give me some men? We want to fight." And she actually defeated the English at Orléans, somewhere in the 1400s. And that led to France actually taking back a whole, you know, a lot of cities that's been captured by the English. So she was quite revolutionary. And just the fact that she came from a poor background, she was a peasant girl, was quite unheard of at that time. Okay, guys, who's this uncle? He's from Cuba. Yes, that's Fidel Castro. He was the leader of the Cuban Revolution, along with Che Guevara, which is the guy that you see on the revolutionary poster. I was intrigued why they actually started a revolution. It turns out that there was a president called President Batista who basically was a dictator. And the people got him to a point where he agreed to have an election, right? And before the election was actually held, they had like this poll to determine, you know, who's ranking where. And he was dead last. So he realized there's no way on earth that he's going to come back into power. So he basically staged a coup and just took back power, right? And that's when the revolution actually started. The ironic thing is this guy, I don't know if you know that, but he was in power from 1956, I think, up until 2008. So he became the very thing that he fought against. That's quite ironic. He became a dictator himself. And his brother, who was part of the revolution, is actually still in power today in Cuba. Okay, ladies, what's the score now, by the way? We're still tied, eh? We're still tied. Okay, ladies, I think this is your last one. Who is he from? India. Yeah, okay, that's easy. So Gandhi was considered to be the father of Indian independence by a lot. And he basically also led these peaceful protests against the British rule or occupation of India, basically to them becoming an independent nation. Okay, guys, last one. Okay, don't mess this one up, please. Okay. Where is she from? Any ideas, guys? Any ideas? Take a wild stab at it. Wild stab. Okay, going once. Anyone, did you want to take a guess, a wild guess? Spain. Nope, it's not Spain. Ladies, any ideas? Oh, the guys on the first service also guessed that. No, it's not. She looks fairly Italian, actually. Eh? But no, she's not. No, she's not. Not from the Netherlands. She is from Israel. Yeah, she's from Israel. I didn't know this. But when I sort of was looking for revolutionary people, I came across her. She was actually, The primary negotiator, like in 1947, Israel actually became an independent state again. And she was the primary negotiator between the Jews and the British. Just before that, she went to the U.S. to raise funds for this independent state. And she actually raised like something like $50 million just from the Jewish community on her own. And she was also actually a prime minister later on in the 1970s. So actually quite a revolutionary figure in the history of the more recent history of Israel. So that was quite interesting. Okay, guys, so the ladies won. Well done. Give yourself a hand. Awesome. Cool, so you guys can swap back to your seats where you were previously. Okay, so obviously there were a lot of revolutionaries in history. I think, as we've seen, I mean, that's just touching the tip of the iceberg. Not every country, but like so many countries in the world has got this story of some leader that has changed it dramatically, for the good or for the bad. I mean, we looked at a whole bunch of guys there that were actually not that good. If you think about Hitler, Lenin, and even Castro, I mean, they didn't bring about very positive change. At the beginning, the things they fought for and what they stood for was maybe good, but it actually didn't turn out to be that way. So today, we obviously want to look at the Bible and the greatest revolutionary in my mind in the history of the world. Somebody that not only changed the history of one nation, but actually changed the history of everybody. Not only in the physical world, but also in the spiritual world. That's obviously Jesus. And the question we're going to ask ourselves today is, what do you make of Jesus? What do I make of Jesus? Is he good, like some people say, or is he bad, like some people say? Was he just some person that lived, or was he actually God that came to earth and set us free? Right? Now, if we look at the Bible and the disciples walk with Jesus, there actually came a point where he asked that question directly to them. If we read together here in Matthew 16, verse 13, I don't know if you've got your Bibles, you can follow there with me. But it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say it's Elijah, still others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And then he asked them, "What do you say? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Okay. So, let's just maybe take a step back and just think about my Bible's going bazonk. Yeah, oh, there we go. Let's just take a step back and maybe see what was the background that Jesus entered in as he came to earth. We find that Israel in the time of Jesus was being ruled by the Romans, right? Now, these were not nice guys. They were actually known for their coolness, and really they were oppressing everywhere where they took the land, they were oppressing the people. And that was the situation that Israel found themselves in. They were being ruled by these guys. They had maybe some like religious privileges, but really they had no say in who ruled and how they ruled. And they basically had to do what was told to them. But they had this hope that was prophesied hundreds of years before them about a Messiah, about a Savior. And obviously in their minds, they were hoping for a political Savior, some leader to rise up and take charge, that would defeat the Romans and have them, get their own land back and their own rule back. So this was sort of the mindset of the time. And then onto the scene appears Jesus. We know from the start that there was always something different about him, right? Right from like the miraculous conception through the Holy Spirit in Mary, to where he was born. He was born like in Bethlehem, in poverty, really. He was born in a manger. And then he had to flee for his life because there were these these wise men that came from the east, that was quite weird, that saw his star and just knew that a king has been born. And Herod didn't like that, so he decided to kill all the young boys. And Joseph took Jesus and the family to go and live in Africa. Actually, Jesus grew up for the first years of his life in Africa, up in Egypt. I don't know if you guys ever thought about it like that. That was quite cool. And after 2 years, when Herod died, an angel appeared to Joseph again, and he said it's safe to come back. So they came back to Israel and settled in a town called Nazareth in Galilee. Now, this place wasn't like the hottest address to live in. You know, it wasn't like Camps Bay in Cape Town. It was more like a little bit of an obscure place. To the point, like, later on, when people was hearing about Jesus, they were asking, where's he from? People saying that he's from Nazareth. And they were like, what, from Nazareth? Like, can anything good actually come from there? You know, that was the type of place that he grew up in. So, you know, the odds were not even always with him. It was sometimes a little bit strange, not where one would think he comes from. And then Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, actually, as Jesus grew up, he was actually baptizing people for the forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus also goes to John, he's baptized, and at that moment, there's this incredible revelation from heaven where the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, and God actually speaks from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And again, people were amazed, thinking, you know, who is this guy? And from that point on is really where Jesus' ministry starts. And he goes around and he teaches and he preaches and he heals people. And there's this passage in Matthew 4 that just sort of illustrates that, where he goes around and just starts preaching and basically the effect of that. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. So large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. So all of a sudden we see this person, this leader, starting to say some things and preach some things and do some things that people not used to. And they started following him. And there were some pretty radical things that he said, right? I want us to look at a couple of those things. What were like the radical things that Jesus said that really stood out, that made him different, that made him bring change? So I want you guys just turn to the guy next to you, the lady next to you, and just maybe chat about what are some of the revolutionary things that you can think of that Jesus said while he was on earth? What are some of the things that stand out as being quite revolutionary for you? Let me hear what you're thinking. Anybody, what are the things that you think that Jesus said that was quite revolutionary? Yeah, Asha. Love your enemy. Yeah, that was completely like contrary to what people believed. They believed that they believed in an eye for an eye. If somebody did something bad to you, you should do it back. It was completely radical. What else? Yeah, that's very awesome. That's exactly right. He said some revolutionary things about himself. If you think about it, he told himself, he called himself the Son of God. Right? That was quite, whoa. That was quite crazy, actually, if you think about it. You know, for a lot of people, that was like the line in the sand. And maybe for a lot of people today, still, it's the line in the sand, actually. You know? Because a lot of people say Jesus was a good guy, you know? He did cool things. He was a prophet, maybe. But then you actually look at what he said, and he said this. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes through the Father but through me. Right? What would you guys do if somebody walks through the door here and says, hey, I'm God. Hey. You think he's a bit crazy, right? You would. You'd think this guy's delusional or something. And really, that's the choice we stand for before today. People can't really say that Jesus was just a good person, because then they have to admit that he was crazy, because he claimed to be the Son of God, right? He said some really revolutionary things about himself. What else? Anybody got some other ideas? Yeah, exactly. It's that Jesus came to show that love, right? That love that surpasses anything that somebody's done. He made that statement where the guys came to ask him, how many times should we forgive? Right? And they said, 7 times? He said, no, 70 times, 7 times. Completely changing their mindset. Any other ideas? That was something maybe interesting that people didn't grasp. What about his peace? What is that? How does that work? Yeah. Yeah, there's another one. You guys are awesome because you're preaching my message here. We spoke about God's kingdom, right? He spoke about God's kingdom. He's saying things like some stuff that's contrary to the culture at the time. He was saying things about power, like on the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, blessed are those who are weak, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. And it was like, you know, people thinking you need to be strong, you need to be, you know, to bring change. He was saying things about sin. He was saying things about, for example, murder. You know, do not murder. That's what people have been told. But he said, actually, if you call your brother a fool, you are doing exactly the same thing. You're committing murder. So he said some really radical things. He said some radical things about himself, like Kenneth said. He said some radical things about the religious institutions. He was really, really, really against hypocrisy. And like these leaders that were, you know, claiming to be good on the outside, but actually inside they were rotting and their hearts were not close to God. And he was saying some radical things about our relationship to God. And that's really what he just said. That Jesus forgave people their sins. Right? Now this was also quite a revolutionary thing to say, because only God can forgive sins. Who's this man who's claiming to forgive people's sins? And there was the instance where the lame man, his friends brought him through the roof because there was no way to get to Jesus. And Jesus basically says, your sins are forgiven. And the people was, how can you forgive sins? Well, he said, what do you think's easier, for me to tell him to get up and walk or for me to tell him your sins are forgiven? And the person was like, well, I don't know. And he said, get up, take your mat and go home. Your sins are forgiven. And the people were stunned. But see, that's what he came to do, is he came to change the relationship between us and God. He came to set right that relationship with us and God. Now, this obviously had a massive impact on people. And I just want us to look at a couple of people whose lives Jesus impacted. The first one I've got here is Peter, all right? So we all know Peter. We just read about him. Peter started out as a fisherman, man. This guy was just fishing every day, you know, selling his fish, mining his own business, no real ambition to change the world, you know, to become somebody great, probably. Then Jesus calls him out. He speaks things like this in his life, that you are a rock. And Peter becomes basically the pillar on which the church is built. The church that's still alive today, that we're sitting in today, you know. So just the fact that he submitted his life to God completely revolutionized what happened in this guy's life, and what he achieved and what he accomplished. Here's another guy, Paul. You know, this guy was on a mission. I don't know if you guys know guys at school that's on a mission. You know, these people that, you know, one day they're going to be somebody famous. Or this guy was like that. He was on a mission, man. And his mission was against Christians, actually. He was very, very religious himself, but he believed that Christianity was not right. And he was actually on his way to Damascus to go and persecute some more Christians when Jesus appeared to him on the road. And in that moment, everything changes. He was literally like going this way, and God appears to him. He meets Jesus, and everything changes. He literally goes that way. And instead of persecuting Christians, he's now proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the point where he basically evangelizes the vast majority of the known world in that time. He plants churches, and he writes like half of the New Testament that we read today. Incredible change through meeting Jesus. But then there were also other characters, like this woman, who was suffering. She was an outcast, essentially, in a society. She was abandoned. There was no real hope left for her. They couldn't do anything for her medically. But she decides that she's going to trust God. She's going to reach out in her desperation and reach out to him. And as she touches him, she's healed instantly. And in that moment, God restores to her hope. He restores a life. He gives it back a dignity. He gives it back a future. Maybe God is doing that. He's done that in some of your lives, you know. Maybe there were a time when you were a little bit hopeless. And you turned to God and he actually touched you and changed you. There's this incident that we referred to earlier with a layman walking. Where God literally spoke to somebody that couldn't walk. He was lame. He says, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. And in that moment, he changes it. He changes his relationship to God. He restores and heals his soul, his spirit. But he also heals him physically and the need he has. And then there's this awesome sort of story that I came across that I read as I was preparing. Jesus and the disciples was basically entering a town. And as they were entering, there was this funeral procession basically that was coming out. And it was a young boy that died. And he was the only son of a widow. And it says that Jesus felt compassion. Jesus had compassion on her. His heart broke, basically, seeing this picture. And he says, okay, don't worry. He's not dead. And he told the boy to get up. And what happened? The boy got up to everybody's, like, amazement. And he gave him back to his mother. And people were amazed. The Bible says they started praising God and saying, truly something great is happening among us. But again, Jesus gave back life. He gave back not only the life of the little boy, but he gave back the life and the hope of the mother. You know, and the fact of the matter is, Jesus is not only impacting lives back in the Bible days, you know. He's been impacting lives across history for the last 2,000 years. And in our lives, he's made a massive impact. I want to invite Karine up here just to maybe share a little of the story and the impact that Jesus, this revolutionary, has had on our lives, on her life specifically.
Hi. First of all, good morning to everybody. So some of you might wonder, why am I and Hannes, why are we involved in the youth? And that's purely because God revolutionized our lives when we were teenagers. What he did for us when we were your age is why we are standing here today. The decisions we made really transformed our lives and brought about change. So what happened with me specifically is I was really suffering from a very poor self-esteem when I was a young girl. Really moved from a little small town to the big city, wasn't fitting in, felt a lot of rejection, just had a lot of like issues with myself. And then I went on a youth camp at Winkelspruit. It's close to Amanzimtoti in Durban. And I was just seeing how God was moving on that camp. But he was touching people all around me, but I wasn't experiencing anything. And I was so despondent. And one morning early, I got up and went to the beach on my own. And I just asked God, am I not even good enough for you? What's wrong? Why am I not feeling what other people are feeling? And in that very moment, somebody further along in the beach, I saw what they were looking at and just looked at the ocean in front of me. And in the second, third wave, there was a school of dolphins swimming by. And in that moment, like I just kept referring to that moment of change, like it was something clicked in me. It's like God's words filled me, like, I'm not giving you all the answers, but I love you so much that I'm giving you a school of dolphins early in the morning. And that love, that revelation of God's love, challenged me to love myself. Like, how can I not love myself if God loves me this much? And that brought about a change in my life. Where I'm standing here today, consumed with God's love, aware of what he's created me for, and loving myself, loving what he's made me. And that is just like God's hand. And that's a miracle. And that's what I pray for you all today. There might be different insecurities and different issues, but may God give you that dolphin moment, even if it looks a little bit different or it's a loud booming voice, or it can be like silence, like in the wind. May he come and touch you.
Awesome. Let's give a hand. Awesome. And I mean, my story is very similar to her. It's around about the same time. God was talking to me. He was revealing himself to me to a point where I realized he actually cares about me. He wants to have a relationship with me, like the creator of the heavens and the earth. Cares about me. And that's what Jesus does. In the introduction to the New Testament, in the Message translation, it really says this, and this sums it up so nicely for me, is that the arrival of Jesus signaled the beginning of a new era. God entered history in a personal way and made it unmistakably clear that he is on our side and that he's doing everything possible to save us. And really, that's the message this morning, is that Jesus came down and revolutionized things. He made a way for us to God the Father. So we're back to this question that we asked at the beginning. Who do you say Jesus is? Maybe that's the challenge I have for you this morning as we close in prayer. It's just to take a moment and think about that. Who is Jesus in your life? Is he just a good person? Is he maybe somebody you've been taught about from a young age? Or is he a revolutionary in your life? Has he touched your life? Has he revolutionized your life? Yeah, so let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just kind of want to come before you this morning and honor you that you sent Jesus, your son, to come and revolutionize our world, Lord. Jesus, we honor you that you lived your life, a sinless life, and that you paid the ultimate price with your life so that we may be reconciled with God. Jesus, I want to honor you this morning that you touched my life, that you touched Green's life, that you touched so many other people's lives, Lord, and changed it completely, that you made it new, Lord. Jesus, we honor you as the ultimate history maker that brought about reconciliation between us and God. And we want to praise you and glorify you and honor you. And as we keep our eyes closed, maybe just want to sort of put that question in front of you again. What are you making of Jesus? Maybe you, like Karine said, the person that's a bit hopeless this morning. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not worth it for God. He doesn't really care about me. Maybe you're like Paul. Maybe you're this guy that's on a mission, man. You know where you're going. You think you've got it figured out. But really, you know there's something missing deep inside. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like, you know, just sort of overwhelmed by the stuff that you've done wrong or like things you think is not right, going right in your life. And you feel shameful. You feel like you're not worthy to actually come to God. But I want to invite you this morning to actually come to him. He's actually standing in front of you now and saying, what will you make of me? Will you choose me? How will you respond to me? I want to give you that opportunity if that's maybe you, maybe that's for the first time, or maybe you're just at a place in your life where you just know you need to turn back to God. I want to invite you to maybe just raise your hand and we can pray together. Say, God, I just want to come back. I just want to turn back to you. I just want to declare and accept and acknowledge you as who you are, as the revolutionary that you who you are. Is there anyone like that? Awesome, guys. I see. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Come on, let's just pray. Jesus, you saw the hands that went up this morning, Lord. And you understand exactly the heart that's behind that hand, Lord. You know exactly what's going on. And Jesus, we just want to come and invite you now, Lord, that you will just come and fill us. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you are the Savior that made a way, and we surrender our lives to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you will come and touch them, Lord. Thank you that you will come and heal them. God, I pray for revolutionaries among us here, Lord. As you come and touch us, Lord, I pray that you will come and change the course of our lives forever, Lord. I pray that you will raise up young women and young men, Lord, that will glorify your name and that will have an enormous impact in your kingdom, Lord. We praise you and we honor you. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Awesome. Cool, guys. Welcome to come chat to me or Corinne or to Mark or Debbie afterwards. We'd love to pray with you if there's maybe something that you have on your heart. But that's it. That's the message for this morning. Next week we're going to look at preparing for revolution. So what are the things that, if we want to be a revolutionary in our lives, what are the things that we actually need to have in place to prepare for that? So I hope you guys have a fantastic week. I'd love to see you guys on Friday night and again back next week on Sunday. Cool. Have an awesome day. Cheers.